3, 2, 1.
Contact. It's the reason that everything happens. Contact.
Contact.
Let's make contact.
It's the second time we brought 3, 2, 1 contact
two,
on this show.
1.
Contact. Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Who has a mixtape? Who needs a mixtape? Who makes a mixtape? It's a mixtape, you do, do. Don't you wanna listen to our mixtape? Raise the roof and move your feet. Come along and laugh with our mixtape. Ha 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 ha. Waka 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 waka. Don't you wanna listen to our mixtape? Sing along and clap to the beat. Settle in and listen to our mixtape. Another music vanishes. Enjoy your buttock sandwiches.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the mixtape. I'm Jason Emmett.
I'm Casey Masterpiece.
And I'm Twisted Kid Matt.
Well, I'm glad that you did. I'm glad you did it, too. And that's it for this week. We got rid of Stewie. We killed him again. He just keeps coming up like a bad nickel. Is it nickel or penny?
Herpes.
I don't know. Did you know that the Canadians got rid of their penny back in 2013 or some shit? Sorry. It was a weird tangent, but I said like a bad penny. And
the more you know.
We should get rid of ours. All right, so this week on the mixtape, we are going to be talking about sad songs that you might not know are sad when you hear them. And I think a lot of the songs on this list, we're all going to agree that like one day it just sort of like, wait a minute, what am I singing?
Yeah,
just click. Like, it just clicks.
Hang on a minute.
Yeah. As it goes, when I put the list together, there's actually one or two on this list that I was like, oh, I actually still to this day didn't know that's what that was really about. So some of them you guys are going to know. You're going to be like, I knew that. I've fucking heard that for years. And some you guys are going to be like, you know, oh, crazy. But it's what we do here. We talk about music and movies and shit. If you guys haven't been going over and checking out the YouTube channel, we do one now. And we're starting to get some views on them, which is really cool. And we're starting to work out all the bugs. So they're looking good and they're doing well.
Sounding good.
One of the cool things about that, while I'm kind of steering you guys there right now, is because we do interviews here on the show. We've got a couple that are going up, and we have been doing those as videos as well. So some of them just sort of work better as video. We'll keep doing the audio, though, for those of you, because I know some people, it's not exactly easy to watch videos all the time. So
while you're driving.
I mean, I do it. You just shouldn't. No, I do not do it. I'm just kidding. with that being said, let's go ahead and kick this one off. Let's talk about some music here. I'm gonna start off with one that's probably become one that people talk about the most, right? This one gets brought up all the time when people talk about songs that you were singing and thought were happy, and then one day it just sort of hit you. You want to take a guess at what it is, Kev?
Hey Ya.
Hey Ya. 2003, Outkast. I don't want to freak you guys out, though, but I don't know if you heard what I just said. Hey Ya, 2003. Over 20 years old.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
Hey Ya is over 20 years old.
Now we have to explain to children what a Polaroid picture is and why you
Right.
So for some of you out there, this is the first time you're being slapped upside the head with that how fast time goes by thing. Like, I just you're mad at me now because I just pointed out that you're like, oh my God. For me, the first time I remember, I was listening to a local classic rock station here in town, and they started playing Pour Some Sugar on Me. And I went, that's not a classic rock. That song's only. And then I just went, oh God.
Right.
That was years ago, by the way. That wasn't recent. And so yeah, I've had to deal with it.
Thanks, Bowling
for
Soup. Now you made it prophetic. When did Motley Crue become classic rock?
Oh, man. So for some of you out there, you're very angry at me right now. I'm sorry for that. So, hey, y'all, this song is very upbeat. A lot of fun, right? You know, mm-hmm. You're hearing it and everybody's dancing to it. And even the video is a ton of fun, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so much fun. So in an interview with VH1, Andre 3000 said the song was about the state of relationships today. The song is about people who force themselves to stay in relationships even when they aren't happy. And then you start listening to the lyrics, right? And you're like, oh, my God. Here, I'm going to read most of these songs. I'm going to read like a little snippet of some of the lyrics. Not all of them, but most of them. Actually, I think maybe all of them. But you think you got it. Oh, you think you got it. But got it just don't get it when there's nothing at all. So that right there is referring to the fact that you think you've got something. But what if there's no substance to your relationship at all? You're just staying together, right? We get together. Oh, we get together. But separate's always better when there's feelings involved. If what they say is nothing is forever, then what makes love the exception? So why you? I'm not going to read them all. Why
I'm hearing this in Andre 3000's voice, right? By the way. And it's just weird looking at yeah. why you say it.
Why, oh, are we so in denial when you know we're not happy here? So it's basically saying,
belief followed by,
if nothing is forever, then what makes love the exception to that? You think love is forever? It's not forever either. Why are we staying in this relationship when we're just not happy here? It's basically singing, like it starts off singing about thank God to mom and dad for sticking to. Like, basically, why are people staying in relationships when they're fucking miserable?
I never caught that part. Yeah. For some reason, I'm like, oh, yeah.
That's what the whole song is about. It's a sarcastic way of looking at it, but why, when you're miserable in a relationship, do you stay with it? Why do you force yourself to stay in a relationship when you know it's no good, when you know no one's happy, when you know it's not going anywhere? That's what Hey Ya is about. And it's still a fun song.
Yeah.
But it's really not. And it make you a little sad now when you hear it.
I feel like OutKast did that intentionally. They're like, we're going to take this super
absolutely
like, depressing concept and add just the happiest, you know, song with the do-do-do-do and the hand claps and then shake it hey like a Polaroid picture. Ya.
Right.
Shake it.
A brilliant
shake,
group.
Shake it like a Polaroid picture. What a great line, by the way.
Now shake I'll be Beyonce's and Lucy Liu.
it's an amazing song. Amazing song. OutKast is an amazing artist. You know what to do. But yeah, I remember hearing the song and thinking this is so catchy and upbeat. And I actually thought it was the opposite for a long time. I thought the song was him talking about thank you mom and dad for staying because you've made me the person I am today and we've got all these and then I started listening and I'm like that's not what he's saying. It's oh like, my no. God,
you stayed together and made me a depressed anxious person. Thanks
mom. God,
now I think everybody's fighting around me at all times.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go. That's what Hey Ya is really about. Sorry if we ruined anything for you. We got a couple more to do that today because we're about to talk about a song from 1973, from one Mr. Elton John. This would be Crocodile Rock. You might know that this song is, I mean, overall, it's kind of a happy song, right? It's got that 50s throwback sound to it, right? It's that real doo-woppy kind of thing. We get to hear the narrator belting out how fun life it used to be when he would run around with this girl named Susie together and they would go out dancing all the time and they would do a dance called the Crocodile Rock. These are literally the lyrics of the song. You know, I remember when Rock was young, me and Susie had so much fun. What you find out by the end of this song, though, is he's lamenting about the past because he's really miserable now because he clearly tells us that Susie took off on him. She left him for some foreign guy. His words, I always picture this like sexy French guy with a sexy French accent. And, you know, and he ran, Susie ran and went and left us for some foreign guy. Long nights crying by the record machine, dreaming of my Chevy and my old blue jeans. So this song is this guy lamenting about how the past used to be awesome. And now he's just a miserable schlub, like crying every night because this girl that he's obsessed over and these times that he obsesses over are like eating him up. And I think this song kind of speaks a lot of nostalgia. And I don't know, as you guys get older, do you guys find yourself suffering from like, God, I remember like the 90s when I was in high school or whatever, and like things that you actually miss or remember, and you look at the state of the world now and you're like, I just wish I felt like I did back then. I don't necessarily mean that. I want the world to be like it was. I want to feel like when I...
Before social media existed.
Well, before you knew enough that shit bothered you. As you get older, so much shit bothers you, right? And it's like, I want to go back to when like my life was getting to hang out with my friends after work and movies were fun enough, and we would just fucking go to the mall and eat in the food court and catch a movie, and it was just really fun. And I wasn't caught up with all the bullshit that's around all the time. And so, to me, I find myself every once in a while, like while I'm sitting at the office or something, thinking about shit and going, why can't it? Why, like, literally, why can't it be like that now? I mean, I still have to work and pay bills, but I did that then, you know? So why can't it be like that now? And I think that's what the song's kind of doing. He's lamenting. He's going, why can't it be like it used to be? Mm. And he's getting kind of caught up in it. So there you go. Crocodile Rock. Which I think we talked about on an episode of when, like, people steal music.
Yes.
And whether or
I
not.
Think that's what it was.
Because he got in trouble for that. Well, they kind of came at him. But we kind of agreed. I think we all agreed that it's similar. But it's also very similar to a lot of songs from that era that he was sort of making fun of. Well, not making fun of, but whatever.
And I'll admit, I've never paid attention to the lyrics of the song.
Yep.
Like, well, it's just one that just. The, you know, I remember when Rock was young, when me and Susie had so much fun, and then after that, it's just gibberish to me.
And the, well, just the years went by, and the Rock,
holding hand is
the Rock
stones.
Belt died, the Rock something died. Susie went and left us for some foreign guy. Long nights crying by the record machine, dreaming of my Chevy and my old blue jeans. Yeah. Yep.
Never paid attention to it.
Yep. Because Susie just fucking ran off, man. With some sexy French guy. I'm French.
Depardieu shows up and
can't you tell by my ridiculous accent?
I'll fart in your general direction.
I wave my private parts at your aunties. You're welcome, everybody. So I'm gonna go to the next song. We're gonna stay in the 70s for a minute. We're gonna go to the year of my birth, 1976. Very famous theatrical. Band from the 70s and 80s. Kev, you want to guess who this band is? Very famous theatrical.
I'm going to guess Queen.
No.
More theatrical.
More theatrical than that. They like to put on a show, that's for sure.
Kiss?
You Kiss, yep. We're going to talk about Detroit Rock City by Kiss. I never knew that this was a depressing song. Did you guys? I had no clue.
It's another one I didn't pay attention to. Sounds just like a song about a guy going, yeah, cars and chicks.
Well, then they made the movie Detroit Rock City about the kids trying to get to the Kiss concert, which was a decent movie, you know. So this is off their Destroyer album. Very, very fast-paced, upbeat, very rock song, right? All that's on the surface, though, because the bummer of the whole thing is, you know, well, let's be honest. The song is all those things till the end. The whole song is kind of upbeat and fun till the end. At the end of the song, okay, let me break this down. He's been telling the story in the song of a fan, right? Of a fan that is excited to go to a Kiss concert. But when we get to the end of the song, what we find out is the fan gets killed in a car accident on his way to the concert. Yeah, that's what the song is actually about. A dude that's excited to go to a concert, the whole thing.
You just kind of broke my brain a little bit, because I know of a cover song, which I'll bring up in a little while, because I know of another band on this list. They added car crash sound effects in the background of the cover version.
Really?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Kind of fucked up now that I think about it. Okay, cool.
So Paul Stanley wrote this, right? And I want to tell you, this is based on actual events. So what Paul Stanley and how he felt after he heard about it, and what he said about it was there had been an accident outside of an arena in Charlotte. So it's not Detroit, but he switched it out for Detroit because worked on the song. Said someone was killed coming to the concert. I thought how odd and how striking, and the juxtaposition of someone coming to a Kiss concert, which celebrates being alive, only to lose your life. That was the twist of Detroit Rock City, to change it from a song about your amazing city to something much more epic. So a kid I don't know if they got in a car wreck or what outside one of the concert venues, but it hit Paul Stanley when he heard about it, that it was like, that's just so wild to think of. And I can think of personal stuff I won't talk about here on the show, but where it's very similar, where in his eyes, it's like, we're going to do something that should be fun or exciting. And you're probably built up to it. and then that's the last night of your life. You don't even get to see it. You're on your way to it, and it's just over. And I'm like, man, that makes it so depressing. And the last line, like one of the last lines is talking about him seeing the headlights of a truck coming at him, and he knows he's going to die. That's like one of the last songs. Yeah. And Detroit Rock City is a very upbeat song, you know. Get up, get out, Detroit Rocks. You know, it's very, you know. Yeah, so now it's going to be depressing anytime I hear Detroit Rock City moving forward.
Yeah, I'm going to have to actually listen to that later on. And I'll tell you what, we haven't done this in a while. I think I might have to make a playlist for this one, for this episode.
Yeah, we haven't done one in a while. So I will say this, for the video side of things, you probably will not hear music moving forward. But we don't put it on the video because, well, they'll take that shit down really fast. So we don't do that.
Real fast. Yeah.
So if you're watching this on video,
you can post it.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like they knew. Yeah, they're trying to get it up there. All right, so we're going to leave the 70s now. And we're going to move into the 90s. For the next two songs, we're actually in the same year. We are moving to 1997. And the first song we're going to be talking about is by a band called Third Eye Blind. And if you don't know already, that song is Semi-Charmed Life. And if you don't know already, this song is not a happy song either, although it sounds like it. I think most of
anytime
us...
Anytime you put do-do-do, right? It's going to sound happy.
And there are lines in it that sound that way. Like, oh, he's singing about something happy, but you got to start listening to the lines underneath those lines. It's very crazy. I think most of us can recall, that love this song, can recall the day that it smacked us in the face, what they were actually singing about. Like, this is one of those, you're sitting there like, wait a minute, what did he just say?
Did he just say doing crystal meth will lift you up until you break?
He absolutely did.
Oh my God.
He also said face down on the mattress. So some of it's fun.
Were they alive at the time?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, geez. Oh, you're making it way worse. So Matt's right. This song is about a drug user who is slipping further and further into meth addiction. Frontman Steven Jenkins said, when I wrote Semi-Charmed Life, the guitar riff was intended to have this shiny thing because that was a feeling of speed. You know, he said it was like a feeling of speed. It's sort of a bright, shiny drug. And we all were sort of into hip hop. And so it was a hip hop flow over it. He said the song is about falling apart and the drug induced high that makes everything fleetingly feel better. The sky was gold. It was rose. I was taking sips of it through my nose. Some of the lyrics. And I wish I could get back there someplace back there, smiling in the pictures you would take. Doing crystal meth will lift you up until you break. It won't stop. I won't come down. I keep stock with the TikTok rhythm. A bump for the drop, and then I bump up. I took the hit and I was given. Then I bump again. Then I bump again. In case you guys don't know, a bump is literally when you take a hit of something. Like cocaine, if you take a bump, you're snorting cocaine.
Snort,
yeah. So this song is absolutely about addiction to crystal meth. Yeah. And how it makes you feel good, but it's all bullshit and it's fleeting. But that's why when he says, I wish I could get back there, someplace back there. I think it's kind of like chasing the dragon, right? This is a term I think most people have heard. I wonder if people know what that term means, though. Like chasing the dragon basically refers to the first time, like I've heard, I've never done cocaine. Matt, is it good? Matt's like, I don't know.
Do you like the way it smells?
Shut the hell up. Matt's like, Matt, you can't just shake your head.
The most boring person I've never smoked a cigarette.
I don't think any of us right here have ever tried any heavy drugs.
Cocaine.
I drank, but that's about it. Now I'm just hooked on coffee.
So the thing about it, from what I hear, from what I gather, is the first time you do cocaine, it's supposed to be mind-blowing. Like, oh my God, it's like the best feeling ever. But from what I've heard after that is you spend every time after that trying to hit that first time, but it slowly gets less and less, but you're chasing the dragon. You're hoping that eventually it'll feel like that again. It never does. I assume meth is probably the same way. I've never tried crystal meth either. But it's really crazy to think that Semi-Charm Life is about meth addiction, which is fucking mind-blowing stuff.
Yeah. This is our biggest hit, too.
Yeah, by far. And it's a great song.
And they took the hit that they were given.
And then they bumped again.
And they bumped again.
I was listening to this song yesterday. It's on a couple of my playlists. Like, it's
catchy as hell.
It's a great song.
I'm pretty sure it's on a past playlist we've done.
I'll be honest, couple of songs we're going to talk about, though, it's like once I knew what they were about there. This one isn't hard for me to listen to, even knowing that. But like Detroit Rock City and one we're going to get to here towards the end, it makes them kind of creepy. Like, this was like, I don't know if I want to listen to this anymore, but I still do. So it's all good. I have a feeling this next band is somebody Matt was probably really into. Yeah, he's shaking his head because he knows who it is. We are now talking about the 1997 song, The Impression That I Get, by the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
And they finally get brought up on this show.
Yeah, I know Matt was a big fan of ska in general and this band.
Can you tell? Could you tell that I was a ska kid in the 90s? I've definitely picked it up and hupped a few times in my life and have skanked in some pits on occasion.
Picked it up and hupped. I love it so much. I've skanked in some pits. No, I mean, this sounds way worse than it is. Like, that sounds disgusting. I've hupped and skanked in some pits.
Skanked in some pits. Yeah.
But it's all, it's not, I mean, it's all harmless. It's all harmless fun. Yeah.
No, I mean, not always, but.
Well, it should be. It's supposed to be. You're not really supposed to.
It's supposed to be.
But Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, this was probably their only, like, hit as far as it goes. I mean, the band had some great stuff.
Probably their biggest,
But this was probably the one that hit radio. Yeah. It's a great song, The Impression That I Get. I actually didn't know. It makes sense when I go back and listen to it now. And I wouldn't say this makes the song overly depressing or anything. So it's not really still that sad. It's just sort of his opinion on some things. A lot of people believe that the true meaning of the song is regarding HIV. And more importantly, a man who finds out his friend has HIV and he himself is too scared to be tested for it.
Oh. Never looked at it that way. But
can't say that definitively if that's true or not, but I can say the vocalist Dickie Barrett has gone on record to say that the song was more about being tested in life in general.
That's kind of what I thought it was.
Yeah, he said it's basically how he has seen so many people around him get hit with bullshit, and he himself has never had to deal with that bullshit, and he doesn't really know if he could handle it or not, but he thinks he can.
Yeah. In other words, I'm not a coward. I've just never been tested. But if I did, I think I would pass.
I'd like to think that if I did, I would pass. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
now I can see why that could possibly apply to HIV testing.
Well, here's some of the lyrics. Have you ever been close to tragedy or been close to folks who have? Have you ever felt the pain so powerful, so heavy you collapse? No. Well, I'm not a coward. I've just never been tested. I'd like to think that if I was, I would pass. Look at the test, and I think there, but for the grace go. I might be a coward. I'm afraid of what I might find out. So that's why people are like, is he afraid? Like, is he talking about a friend that he found out came down with HIV? And you remember, this is the 90s. And so now he's afraid and he thinks he would pass. Or is he just talking about life? I always thought he was just talking about life.
But I mean, like, looking at a physical test, it's kind of brought up in the song as well. Like,
that's true.
Looking at the test.
That's true. So we don't know.
Damn. All right.
Yeah.
Everybody, playlist will be in the description. Go ahead and check that out. I need to actually add all the things down in the description that I keep talking about. None of the links I've mentioned in the past.
Being now you know what it feels like. Mm-hmm. You have to do show notes for the video, and it's not that much fun, is it? I know. He's always picked on me, correct, and he'll just go, Jay, we'll put that in the show notes. I'm like, you dick. Because when he says it, I have to do it.
On the videos.
Yeah. So I don't know. I wouldn't say that The Impression That I Get is a sad song, but it definitely has meaning that is a little doesn't coincide with the music, we'll say. Like, it just sounds like a fun, upbeat, happy song. But, you know, I've never had to knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
And before we move on to the next song, I wanted to say Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, the band we're currently talking about, covered Detroit Rock City by Kiss and added car crash sounds in the song towards the
end. That's crazy.
It actually opens with Gene Simmons talking about how he doesn't like that the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones are going to be covering Detroit Rock City.
God,
They included his voicemail in it too. You can hear all of this on the Kiss My Ass Kiss tribute album that came out.
Fantastic.
Which also has previous guests of the show, Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Coming to concert if you're in the Cincinnati area. They're coming to concert with the Gin Blossoms. So,
just who might also be on that tribute album? Yeah.
It's just, first of all, of course, Gene Simmons said that.
Of course.
Second, I love that they added that because it's just brilliant.
If you've never heard it. I will
check out their version of Detroit Rock City. Absolutely, yeah. And now it's kind of weird that you're like, oh God, now I know why they added that. Like, you've been listening to it for years and never knew that. I never knew that that song was about that.
Like I said, it's, to me, it's always been a song about like cars and girls and stuff. And yeah, it's about a car accident.
At least the end is. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's cool that then we bring up the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. I didn't know that those two things were going to connect. That's really cool.
Neither did I.
So we have a few more to talk about.
First, a word from our sponsor.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. Let's insert a real quick word from our sponsors in right here. Hey, everyone. I want you to check out our sponsor, BustedTees.com. They sell really cool clothing and apparel, all of it inspired by your favorite shows, anime, sci-fi, video games, movies. That's BustedTees.com. And then at checkout, you'll want to use my name, Jason, 25945. That's all one word, Jason 25945. That's going to get you a discount and it's going to help this show. That site again, BustedTees.com, like t-shirts, and that code again, Jason 25945. BustedTees.com, designs that pop culture. All right, so we are back. Not used to that. It's weird for me. We're back. Back from break. And we're going to move into the next song. And for this next song, we are moving up again. We're going from the 90s now into the 2000s, the early 2000s. We're going to be talking about a song from The Killers. And that song is Mr. Brightside. I mean, this song, again, the music sounds pretty upbeat. I always kind of knew it was a bummer of a song. But Kev, do you know what Mr. Brightside is about?
I don't.
Do you know the song Mr. Brightside?
I probably heard it before, You've heard it probably
a lot.
Yeah. Probably.
And it's, now I'm falling asleep.
Somehow become,
and she's calling Kev. Yeah.
It's become like their biggest song that everybody knows. They have some other great songs, but this is the one that
it's killing me.
Yeah. Do you know where The Killers got their name from, by the way?
I feel like I do, but I can't remember. I feel like you've told me before.
I'm pretty sure it's from a Duran Duran video.
I think you have told me that before.
It was on the drum head of their drummer. Like, they, for whatever reason, put The Killers on their drum head, and The Killers were like, hey, that's a great name. Interesting.
I want to talk about this briefly. We'll go off on one of our...
And if I'm wrong, I'll put the truth like right about there.
If I'm wrong, you guys don't know it, so that's what it is now.
Yeah.
Do you guys... And I actually want to do an episode on this, and I bring this up for a reason, and no, they are not that for me. But do you guys... Well, I'll start with that one. They were this for me. Do you guys ever have a band that... Like, you've heard them, and you really like their stuff, but you just, for whatever reason, never really got into them? That's not fair to say. You never really went the mile to try to get into them or listen to their stuff. You really liked everything you heard, but you just sort of left it at that. Did you have bands like that? Because The Killers were like that for me.
Yeah.
Everything.
Until your wife went to go see them.
Until we went and saw The Killers in concert.
Yep.
And that happens sometimes where it's like, oh, God. Like, Better Than Ezra is coming to concert here again, and I actually always liked Better Than Ezra stuff, and I went and saw him a few years ago, and I'm like, oh my God, they changed, like, my whole perspective when I saw him live. And Brandon Flowers, man, from The Killers, he's a fantastic showman. He sounds great on stage live, and he puts on a hell of a show. And I always liked The Killers stuff, but I never really got into it, like, never just went that extra mile. My wife is really into him, and then we went to see him, and I'm like, oh my, these guys they're fucking great. So I was very stoked. That being said, what I want to do an episode of a show on, which we will, is have there ever been bands where for lack of a better term, you're just like, meh. Like, it's, they're fine. I hear that song and everyone else loves it and I don't hate it, but I also just don't care.
Like, yeah.
So this
got a lot of bands. Yeah.
So this got brought up yesterday and my wife got so mad at me because we were in the car and she's like, you better not say that this is one of those songs. And I'm like, it totally is. Seven Nation Army came on and I'm like, I've always been kind of meh.
Like, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's fine.
That, there are far better songs by White Stripes, Jack White,
okay, but,
whatever band he's in, than Seven Nation Army. But, Seven Nation Army's all right.
But it's, I'm that way about the White Stripes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, yeah, they're fine. Whatever. Like, it's fine. I don't know what it is. It's like this song. In other words, the song comes on, I'm not going to turn it, but I'm probably not ever seeking it out either. It's just weird. She's like, you better not say that. I love that song. I'm like, it's fine that you love the song. It's not that I dislike it. I think that'd be a fun episode where songs that were like, everybody just, I get labeled this way a lot, like where people tell me like, you, oh, my wife is always like, you, oh, here, he hates Love Shack. I'm like, I don't hate it. I'm just really tired of it.
Prefers like, Rock Lobster.
Yeah, actually. Like, I'm just kind of tired of it. For a band,
think we need to do an entire episode where we just talk like Fred Schneider.
What you talking about? Hey, Matt.
Welcome to the show.
I'm Jason Emmett.
Tape. Yeah.
Podcast.
When you're doing podcasts, you start with a microphone. Microphone. But no, you're talking about a band that, in my opinion, has such a huge catalog, and all we ever hear is Love Shack. I'm like, okay, yeah, well, it's fine. I get
what
it.
About
it
my
was
own Private Idaho.
It was right. Right. Like, they have a.
See?
Yeah, I'm just saying. Well, we hear two songs now. We hear Love Shack, and then we hear Rome.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Rome.
If you want to. So yeah, I get it. A lot of people say I hate Love Shack, and I don't. I'm just like, I just kind of tired of hearing it. It's kind of like Journey. Like, you know, Don't Stop Believing is not the only song they do. It's not even their best song. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about The Killers and Mr. Brightside from 2004. Again, on the surface, the music, very poppy, you know, kind of sounds fun. I've seen a ton of people out there belting out this song and dancing to it, you know, kind of like, it was up in my mind, you know, they're going, I just made up words, those weren't real. It was up in my mind is not a fucking lyric in the song.
Yeah, he's avoiding copyright.
But the lyrics are a little more disturbing than that if you really listen. And I don't think this song hides it so much, but I just don't think people are paying attention. And there's actually some reasoning behind it for this song. This song is actually about Brandon Flowers himself and a true story that happened to him, part of it, and about the jealousy, the complete jealousy he felt, and then later the paranoia he began to feel towards just relationships in general. After he went to sleep one night, he was in Vegas, and he goes to bed, and he's like, I wake up, I just had this feeling that something wasn't right, and I get up, my girlfriend's gone, and I go down to the bar, and he catches her cheating on him with another dude, and like kissing and stuff like that. And I think what this song really does is it captures how our minds, if you've ever been cheated on, which most definitely have, we've got Matt raising a hand down there as well. Kevin, have you ever been cheated on?
Even in chess?
God, oh, yeah, chess, definitely.
Aren't you fucking special? It's like, nah, girls don't cheat on me.
It's like, nah, man.
He's like, girls,
I'm all about that whole life.
They know better than to cheat on
the KC masterpiece.
Yeah.
See, he spells it master P E A C E, but sometimes it's the master P I E C E. It's the masterpiece. Well, it
sounds better as the master peen. So
the master peen. Well, here's the thing about being cheated on. One of the things it really does to you is it gets in your brain, and you don't have you rarely have details, but your brain starts making details up. Your mind can't take the situation, and it starts building it up and creating these images and scenarios in your head that, if you're not careful, will kind of drive you insane. You can't. It's like you don't even know what happened, but your brain starts telling you what happened. And the lyrics of the song really get that across well. I mean, he caught her in a bar kissing a dude, right? He didn't there was nothing else for him. But the song, okay, so the lyrics are, now I'm falling asleep and she's calling a cab while he's having a smoke and she's taking a drag. Now they're going to bed and my stomach feels sick and it's all in my head, but she's touching his chest now. He takes off her dress now. We all know what he wanted to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now she's touching, but she's touching his chest now. He takes off her dress now. Let me go. I just can't look. It's killing me and taking control. He didn't see any of that stuff. He didn't see her going to bed with him. He didn't see her him taking off her dress and her touching his chest. But like he said, I just can't look. It's killing me and it's taking control. I can't get it out of my head that this is what happened. And this song does a really good job of capturing that paranoia of like, yeah, I can't, this is all I can see now. That's all I can think about. And when people like get cheated on, they stay together. It's very like, wow. Cause like, I know your brain is eating at you all the time. Like how, and that's the sarcasm of the song is, I'm Mr. Brightside. Like, oh, all this is going on in my head. Don't worry. I got it though. I'm Mr. Brightside. I'll look at the bright side of things, but he really can't. He can't do it. That's the problem. This is a great song, great lyrics. Like, to me, this really captures that feeling. So, I don't know, Matt, was it like that for you? Like, when you got cheated on, did you, like, play scenarios in your head and, like, couldn't, it just ate at you and ate at you? He's like, nah, I was like, fuck you, bitch.
No. No. It was pretty clear what happened.
So, well, it was clear
what... There was no imagination.
Well,
not much imagination.
It was not clear what happened to me, But like I didn't want details. I wanted no details. I'm like, I don't want details.
No, I just left when it happened. I was like, nope, I'm done.
That was smart.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. I eventually did. You know what? I'm not going to talk about it, but it turned out to be, there was a blessing in there. So we're going to leave it at that.
There you go.
But yeah, it does mess with you really bad. And even then, dude, you got to admit, somewhere down there, even if it shouldn't, even though part of you knows, like, no, this person's just horrible, just a horrible person. It had nothing to do with me. Part of you still feels pain, like my pride took a little hit, like, or does it have something to do with me? Even if it didn't, it's hard not to think those thoughts. It's hard not to get caught up in shit. So I love the lyrics of the song. I always have. But this is another one of the songs that even though I was singing it in my car or whatever, one day I started really listening to what I was. See, I think that's important. You will sing it and not listen to what you're singing. And then one day you do. You're like, oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you got to pull over and go, what the hell have I been singing this whole time?
Matt's literally like driving down the street. He's like, oh, I got to pull the fuck over. Hey, y'all is about what? Hang on. You see Matt sitting at the side of the road going, like, no. No.
People stop. You need help? You got any car trouble? No, man.
Yep.
Some real deep lyrics.
I'm listening
over
to Hey Ya, and they're like, oh, shit. They give him a hug.
Mind blown.
Matt's hugging it out.
Cops are called. Yeah.
Like, Outkast really messed him up that day.
If somebody's going to do it, it's going to be Outkast, right? Like, going to put some deep
somebody
stuff.
Call Miss Jackson.
Yeah. Sorry, Miss Jackson. So we're going to go to the 80s now, and I'm going to say this next one's kind of a cheat. We have two more songs to talk about. This next one's a little bit of a cheat because it's not really a sad song. It's just a very goofy-sounding song that's actually about something a little more serious, but it actually ends on a very happy note. We're going to be talking about The Clash, 1982, Rock the Casbah.
Or Lock the Cash Box for you folks who can't
clean the cat box. This song reached number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100. It was like one of the Clash's only songs to like get that high, which is weird because
great band.
You would think like, Should I Stay or Should I Go would have been a bigger hit. And I think it's more recognized.
That might in more recent days.
Yeah, maybe.
Turned around maybe. Because it was on Stranger Things.
Yeah, I love that song, but I like this song. I love this band. They're a great band.
R.I.P. Joe Strummer.
So if you know, you know. Or, and if you don't know,
I'm about to tell you.
The song sounds fun enough. Although he sings with sort of a slur and a little bit of an, like his voice in the song is very like slurry, like he's doing it on purpose. And there's a little bit of an intentional accent on certain words in the song. Like, Sheriff don't like it. Dun, 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 dun. Lock the cash box. Lock the cash box. Rock the Casbah, folks. Do you guys know what the Casbah is before we move on? It seems like a Kevin thing to know.
I want to say, let's see.
Oh my God, if he gets this right,
like
I don't
bar,
know.
Bar, like in the Middle East.
No, it is in the Middle East, but it's not a bar. I was like, if Kevin just gets this right out of his ass, I'm going to be like, oh God, I give up. Kevin's just like, I'm going to say it's probably this, and he would have been right, and I'd be like, oh, of course he got this right. The Casbah is a fortress in the Middle East. It's just a fortress that sits there, yeah. So the song itself
also
is
a burger stand in Lawrence, Kansas, sure.
The Casbah?
Yeah. How the end of the Casbah. So 805 Massachusetts, Lawrence, Kansas. Check it out, maybe.
Go check it out, maybe. Is it good?
Oh, I've driven by there, actually.
Oh, you've never been there.
4.6 out of 5 stars.
Oh, so, but you've never eaten there.
I've never eaten there.
That's good reviews. You should check it out. Yeah, you should check it out now. Yeah. So the song itself is actually about a king who bans rock and roll. So what do the people do? They hold a massive concert in this fortress, the Casbah. That's why we get Rock the Casbah. The whole thing is telling a story throughout the whole song. This is a fictitious telling. It's not a real thing that happened. But anyway, they decide we're going to hold this massive rock concert because the king, you know, banned it. Well, the king gets pissed at him, and he calls out his jet fighters, and he says, fly over it and bomb all these people.
Oh.
And the jet fighters take off. But they don't bomb them.
Jet fighters.
Here's what happens. The king called up his jet fighters. He said, you better earn your pay. Drop your bombs between the minarets down the Casbah way. As soon as the sheriff was chauffeured out of there, the jet pilots turned to the cockpit radio blare. So what happens is the jet fighters take off. And then as soon as he leaves, they're like, look you. And they turn up the rock and roll music. And they rock out in their cockpits. Rock out with the cockpit out.
Rock out with your cockpit out. Rock it out with your cockpit out.
So this is actually based, it's a fictitious song, but it is based on an actual ban that was enforced in Iran since the Iranian Revolution that does in fact ban Western music in Iran. So kind of a bummer thing. Hmm. But what did you just say? No. You said
Iran. So
and you said far away. I thought that's what you said, but I wasn't sure. And I, So
it couldn't get away.
The end of the song. Shut up. Aurora Borealis. Ah!
She did it, guys. The speech lessons have been helping.
So Rock the Casbah is not actually a sad song in the end. They win. But it is sad to know that there's an entire freaking country that bans Western music just to keep good it away stuff. From people. Yeah. Well, there's a reason they do that, though. These countries who ban stuff like that do it because they don't want people to see outside of the bubble they've put them in. Because it's easier to manipulate people when you do that. Which is weird because in North Korea, he loves American movies and basketball. Apparently, Dennis Rodman. and I think Steven Seagal, maybe. I don't know.
Probably. Or
at least that's what Steven Seagal tells us.
When he runs.
And he fights like
Come
that,
on, Kevin,
too.
do your Steven Seagal run.
For those not watching video, I'm not sure what he just did. He just looks like
it's like a run slash waddle.
You look like a heavy set dude who just is fed up with running. So he's like hit the end of his run stride. He's just like, forget it.
You look like when I'm running, basically.
I don't want to see you run though. All right, we got one more song on this list. This is a song that is really depressing. I caught on pretty quick that it was really depressing. I like the song a lot, but this song is, and it was meant to be, just so we clear about that. This one comes from 2010. This is a little band that I wrote their name wrong on my notes and says Foister the People, but the band is actually called Foster the People, and the song is Pumped Up Kicks. So this is Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People or Foister the People. I don't have it. I'll insert it here because, yeah.
A little bit of a stroke there.
Yeah. did Matt not have it either? Oh, you guys.
Yeah, it's in the background.
So Foister the People's Pumped Up Kicks. So this one came out in 2010. Like I said, this is a chipper sort of feeling song. actually, I want to say this and see if you agree with me on this song. While it does sort of have some kind of funky music and kind of get your head moving, did it always have a little bit of a creepy vibe to it too? Mm-hmm. There's something eerie about the song, even though you might not have been able
to. Going through the voice changer thing.
Yeah, it's weird.
What does the singer from Foster the People actually sound like? Because this is the song everybody knows, and he's got a vocal effect going on it.
I don't know. Because they haven't really had another hit.
They didn't really do anything else that I can think of off the top of my head.
So, Kevin, do you know what this song is about?
Isn't it about school shootings?
Kind of, yeah. For lack of a better, yes. Essentially, the whole thing is told through
unnecessary violence, basically.
The eyes of one guy who's telling the story. So, written from the viewpoint of a guy who's suffering from mental instability and is having thoughts about shooting kids. Mark Foster from the band said, "I wrote Pumped Up Kicks when I began to read about the growing trend of teenage mental illness. I wanted to understand the psychology behind it because it was foreign to me. It was terrifying how mental illness among youth had skyrocketed in the last decade. I was scared to see where the pattern was heading if we didn't start changing the way we were bringing up the next generation." So he's saying in the song that the narrator is jealous. He's jealous of his classmates. He's jealous of the things that he sees them wearing and the things they have. And he basically says, you better be able to outrun my gun because I'm going to shoot you and I'm going to take your stuff or your pew pew as it is. But they're going to shoot him
now.
And he's going to take the stuff. Do what? What'd you say?
I was like, careful now. You got to.
Well, that's what the song's about. I can't. YouTube. Yeah, I can't help that. You know, but
no.
The Pumped Up Kicks do refer to something from the 90s.
Yeah,
they absolutely
do. I was thinking the pumps.
So in 90s Nike, we had the Reebok pump. Yeah, Reebok.
Yeah,
and they—I don't know why—but they had a little basketball emblem,
faster,
and you'd reach
higher.
Down and pump it, and it would put air somewhere in your shoe. I don't know; it was a weird trend. But that he is referring to that, and he's saying, like, basically, you better be—are those shoes going to help you run fast enough to get away from me? You know, because it's really disturbing. Yeah, creepy AF. As for the music being upbeat. Foster actually talked about that.
Dance to it.
You're going to like this. You're going to like why the music is the way it is. This is kind of fun. He said, it's a fuck you song to hipsters in a way, but it's a song the hipsters are going to want to dance to.
Like, they did.
It was intentional.
How they danced.
It was intentional that it was that upbeat because he wanted the message to get across to certain people. Like, I want you to hear this because there is a problem in this country, and maybe you'll catch it. Maybe you'll listen to the lyrics, and you'll be like, oh, that's interesting. So Jeffrey Berg of Frontier Psychiatrist actually came out and said some stuff about this too, and he said, I was so engrossed with the cheery melody of its chorus that it took me a few listens to discover that the lyrics suggest dark Columbine revenge. And that's what we were talking about. This song comes off as like kind of like doom, 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 and you're like, yeah, I feel it. And then you start listening, and you're like, wait, what did he just say? He said, you better outrun my bullet? And he did. That's what he says. The lyrics say he found a six-shooter gun in his dad's closet and with a box of fun things. I don't even know what, but he's coming for you. Yeah, he's coming for you. All the other kids with the pumped-up kicks, you better run. Outrun my gun. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run faster than my bullet. That is a depressing ass song. So yeah, it is 100% about what you thought it was about. I think it's interesting, and it's weird because this is 2010 and now we are in 2024, and we talk about this a lot on the show, how we'll discuss a certain song and say, like, why is it becoming more relevant instead of less? Like, when is this going to stop? You know, when this particular one deals with, like, young kids with mental illness that, you know, shoot up schools and stuff. And it's frightening to think. I lived in Littleton, Colorado, and Columbine High School was the next town over. And my sister, when she was in high school, used to compete with Columbine, like the you know, like sporting events and stuff. And I actually had a cousin that worked at Columbine, and she had actually left the year before. So she wasn't, luckily she wasn't there when it all went down. But I remember when, like, I heard about that because Columbine was such a, like blew my mind. And then we started hearing more and more stuff, and I guess it just sort of struck him. And he was like, I want to write a song that kind of deals with it. So it's a great song, by the way.
Yeah, it is. Why? I was actually in high school when Columbine happened still. I graduated in 99 when Columbine actually happened. And I don't know if it was the same across the country, but our school went into lockdown because that was like the first big school shooting that happened. And unfortunately, was not the last. So, but yeah, it affected a lot of people, and I could totally understand why they would want to write a song that, you know, feel kind of helpless a little bit and want to do something.
I'm betting, you know, their age too, that this is probably something that we're older, but this is probably a lot, like his generation probably affects them a lot more, and they have to think about these things a lot more. I mean, I think about this a lot because we have dealt with, in our generation, our lifespan, we have dealt with a few, like, really major like events that, like,
world events.
Yeah. So like for my grandparents it was Pearl Harbor, right? And I think about that for my mom and nothing growing up, because she like Pearl Harbor and JFK. Yeah, but she was young. I think the one that really hit us, of course, first was the Challenger. And I think so my mom that experienced the Challenger, and I don't know if people understand today, this is a good thing, by the way, what I'm about to tell you, is you do not understand the way these things impact you. I remember growing up hearing about Pearl Harbor, and then I started telling people when I had kids, they're going to hear about the World Trade Center, and it's going to hit, like, to them, it's going to be like when I heard about Pearl Harbor. I know that it happened.
We're like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's messed up, man.
That sucks.
But then when you live through it, it's a totally different thing altogether. So what I'm saying is I really don't want this generation to experience anything like that. Doesn't mean you won't.
Yeah.
Right.
But I hope you don't. But I remember,
I feel like for them, though, it's more of just like a continuous.
Yes.
Like nonstop.
Absolutely. You know? But I'm talking about those big events that, like, like, just rock your. We were watching the TV show Mixed Dish. My wife, I watched it when it was on. My wife's been watching it, and they actually have an episode where the Challenger explodes, and she's talking about it, like how it affected her. And I was telling my wife, I'm like, what they're doing in the show, these kids are all in a classroom and they wheel in the TV. That happened. We were, they wheeled in a TV and we watched it as kids. You know, watched this happen and not being able to.
Almost had Big Bird on the, space shuttle, too.
Well, I remember.
Not even trying to make a joke.
I'm they almost sent Big Bird up with it as well. I remember being a kid and not knowing how to process it. And like, I know what just happened, but I don't fully understand what just happened, which is, that episode is all about that, by the way. And I'm kind of getting back to the point here is for his generation, for their generation, these are things that they have experienced from the time they were young, and it just keeps happening. And he's like, what's that do to your mind? We're getting real deep and philosophical here, but what does it do? And how do you express, how do you process that and express that? I think that's what the song probably is about for him, is how do I process these things that I keep saying and hearing about, like Columbine, like Sandy Hook? How do I process that? So it's messed up. It's a great song, but this is one of the songs where earlier we were like, some of these get a little depressing, and I'm like, now it's hard for me to listen to them. This one, knowing, like, I still love the song, but knowing, like, what the underlying, it's kind of like, I can't just hear it now. I have to have all deep thoughts and shit. So there's some of the songs we brought up. There are more, obviously. There were some that I thought about talking about, Electric Avenue, but we've talked about Electric Avenue on the show before.
Yeah. I think, like, least twice.
Very upbeat, not a happy story. It's about riots that happened. There's a few more that considered, like Basket Case by Green Day. Not really a happy song underneath. Sounds like it if you're listening to it, but it's not. But not the same kind of unhappy. It's just about a kind of pathetic loser.
Almost make this a multi-part series.
Yeah, we could.
There's so many songs that could have been talked about with this.
We could. What are your guys' thoughts about the ones we talked about? And are there any of these that really hit you that you remember just like, God, that one knocked me for a loop?
Didn't know about Crocodile Rock. That took me by surprise.
Really? I mean, it's right there in the lyrics, man. Just like, for me, it was Detroit Rock City. Like, I never knew that.
I'd never known that myself either, but for me, probably the impression that I get that one, I just thought it was, a song about, struggles in life and being fortunate that you hadn't been tested.
And it might still be.
It's kind of, it could be.
We don't know.
But I'm going to have to go back and give it another re-listen, which is another excuse for me to listen to the Mighty Mighty Boss.
There you go.
There you go.
So are there any songs you guys feel like, wow, they should have been on this list? Like, we can do another part, but any songs you're like, that we should have talked about that? I want to hear if there's any songs that you like. It sounds like it was always a happy song. What kind of brought this up was we're going to be doing an episode.
Ooh, I got a great one actually that should be talked about on there. And
well, we're gonna keep it for 1 second because what we're gonna be doing. I want to get to this. What brought it up, because that'll trigger. What brought this up is I reached out to the guys and said, what are songs, like, I want a couple songs from you guys that just make you happy, that you listen to them and they make you happy. And one of you guys,
like my answer.
One of you guys, Matt, sent a song over and I'm like, that makes you happy? What was the song, Matt?
It was obviously Stay by Lisa Loeb.
I said, that's a very sad song, Matt. And he goes, well, yeah. And I was like, I guess I should have rephrased it different. Like, what are songs that
I just enjoy the song
will make you like, will cheer people up if they're in kind of a bummer mood, is what I guess I should have said. I want to make like a, sounds corny, but I want to do a happy playlist. These are songs that make us happy and cheers up. And then I was like, I started thinking, I'm like, we should do like the complete opposite of that, but like, there is no opposite. Like, what are songs that just make me fucking cry? Like, I don't know that they, well, there might be.
There's a few.
Heartlight. Turn on your heartlight in the middle of me. He leaves.
Yeah, Soul Glow.
He leaves. No.
Just let you.
But what that made me think of was like, okay, well, what are songs that we thought were happy songs? And then I kind of put it out to you guys. So what, Matt, what song are you thinking of that?
Okay, so you want me to tell you the title, but do you also want me to tell you why?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I would say, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the band Say Anything. Yes, they are named after the John Cusack movie. But they have a song called Alive with the Glory of Love. And it is one of the most upbeat, happy, catchy, make you booty move kind of, songs.
Make your booty move.
But it's about the Holocaust.
Oh.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. That's... And it took me several listens to catch that. And I don't know why, because it is pretty blatant at points. It's a very, very dark song, but it does not sound like it in the slightest bit. So that would be one of my picks as a, we'll call it an honorable mention.
What's the name of the song?
Alive with the Glory of Love.
Alive with the Glory of Love.
Yeah. And if you have the ability to play a little bit of the audio, go for it, just so you can hear how catchy it is.
I don't know if I do or not, but I was gonna at least skip. So this song came out in 2004 off the album Is a Real Boy. I'd never heard this before. That's wow. Well, way to bring it down, Matt.
Did you read some of the lyrics?
I did not. School shootings, and Matt talks about like, this was such a happy.
It's a very catchy song. It's probably one of their most well known songs. But to be fair, that band, they're kind of known for writing extremely dark, depressing songs that just sound really happy.
The chorus says, "No, I won't let them take you. Won't let them take you. Hell no, no. I won't let them take you.
They literally talk about, we got to be quiet so they don't find us.
And when our city, vast and shitty, falls to the Axis, they'll search the buildings, collect gold fillings, watch wallets and rings. But Miss Black Eyeliner, you'd look finer with each day in hiding. Beneath the wormwood, ooh, love you so good. They won't hear us screw away the day, I'll make you say. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one, yeah. Matt. I mean, it's not, but it is.
Now, if you listen, like I said, if you listen to the entire song, it's very catchy. It's very upbeat.
It's very
and
ska punk sounding, for, you know.
Yeah. Dun, dun, yeah. It would be in the like emo kind of genre.
It's kind of, it had a little bit of a, now I don't know the band well, had a little bit of a rockabilly thing sound to it from the clip I heard.
That song,
yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, I don't know the band. I just, yeah.
Trying to remember, God, they have another song that's just about being just super loser and, yeah, he like calls a sex line and that's just how he spends his night.
I mean, that sounds like a Green Day song.
Yeah. The Basket Case?
Yeah, right. So. Mm-hmm. There you go, guys. There's a. Yeah. There you go. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah. Woo,
bringing it down. We did mention, guys, that we are on YouTube. So if you're not, go over and check some of those out. Not just these videos. We one of the things.
That was the quietest slide whistle.
Ever. I didn't even know he did it.
I just happened to look at him when he did it.
One of those things is. He just let all the air out of Kevin's slide whistle. So one of the things that we're doing over on our TikTok and our YouTube now isn't just these videos, but we're doing other videos as well. Of course, when we do our Twisted Kid stuff, that's over there. You can actually sit and watch us do our commentary. Or you can go over, because I'm doing movie news updates, so talking about, like, before the Crow trailer came out, we talked about our thoughts on the reboot, and then when the Crow trailer came out, we dropped a thing talking about that. We give some news about the upcoming Mario Brothers sequel. Just stuff like that. So that's our TikTok and our YouTube. Those are up there. So go check those out if nothing else. And those are shorter, you know, 10 minutes or less, usually closer to 5 minutes. But they're there, so you can go check those out too. TikTok, YouTube on those. Of course, Instagram is out there, and so is Twitter. We are on both of those. I highly recommend those. We just did an interview. I like to shout these out because sometimes I'm like, I want you guys to know who this person is. We did an interview with Isaac Marion, probably going up right after this, you know, shortly, or actually maybe even right before this. I don't know when the timing goes. Isaac wrote the book Warm Bodies that the movie is based off of. And he wrote other books as well. I did not know originally that Warm Bodies is a trilogy. There are two additional books, actually three technically, because there's a prequel novella that was written as well. But that's not the most interesting thing. We want you to listen to it. He is on YouTube. He does a series of videos, and he's on TikTok where he does a series of videos. He went off the grid. He lives mostly off the grid.
Withdrew from society a bit.
Yes, and he talks about why and what that's been like for him and how that's affected his writing, and great dude. It was very, for anybody who's a creator out there, whether it be music or art or you're a novelist, you want to write, any of that, I think this is an important one to listen to. We've only had a couple authors on this show, John Mayberry, and John was great as well. For some reason, they are very inspirational interviews, so I want to recommend that. Here's the thing. We have video of that over there, so you can go do that. He's very active on Instagram as well, so we want to push you to things like our social media so you can find out about these guys. That's kind of why we do it. Yeah. The fun one.
He has a cat you can check out.
He does. Awesome, he does. Bob. Bob is a cool cat.
Bob made an appearance during the interview a couple of times.
It was. We were getting some laughs because he was making himself very well known. On top of that, we have our Facebook page, and that's really the one where a lot of people interact, and it's starting to pick up a little bit. I know Facebook, right? But Tapeworms, fans of the Mixtape Podcast over there.
It'll all be scrolling across the screen right here.
One of the things we do over there is we post a lot of upcoming concerts, tours, events like toy shows or cons, and not just in our area. We will post anyone we see. So you can go over there and find a lot of that stuff and interact with a lot of the fans. We have a good time over there. So go check that out as well. We haven't talked about this stuff in a while, so I wanted to give it a little shout out really quick. So yeah, go check all that stuff out. I don't really have a lot else to add to this, guys. Is there anything you want to? I ask this and it never is, but yeah.
I already added.
Sure,
to say anything alive with the glory of love.
As sure as I don't.
Yeah,
ask,
I kind of brought things down a little bit there.
Sure as I don't ask, you guys are like, I wanted to talk about, it, and then they're gonna cry a lot. Guys, you don't know what I put up with outside.
Anybody watch Royal Rumble from like 30 years ago? Anybody?
All right, so that's it. We're going to end this episode. Guys, we always love having you here. And let us know what your thoughts are on the songs we picked this week. And if there's any you would add to the list. I think that's all I got. We love you guys. Please come back next time when we will talk about something else. Until then, maybe nothing. We don't always talk about shit. You know what we should do one time? We should have a non-episode.
The googly eyes. Where we just
What we do pre-roll. Of course, there's a lot of talk about explosive diarrhea when we do that, but it still might
didn't
be
need
worse.
To bring that up, but okay.
Like Matt and I once had a whole conversation about the time we shit our pants. It's a real thing.
Yep, that happened.
So how
okay, the conversation us, ended with Jay going, "We should talk about this.
We should talk about this on the show." Let us know out there if you would like us to do a non-show, which is just us for an hour of rolling and just talking about whatever bullshit with how we normally talk to one another. We will do that if you want to hear
It'll be our show about nothing.
Yeah, it will be our show about nothing.
We'll call it the Seinfeld episode.
That would be misleading. People are like, they didn't talk about Seinfeld at all.
We'll just come on like,
what's
Seinfeld,
the deal
right?
with Ovaltine? Yeah. It's just us doing our impression of Jerry Seinfeld.
Plain food.
What's the deal with Ovaltine? It's not even oval.
Stu comes in like Kramer.
It's not in its theme. Oh.
No, no, no. Newman.
Stewman.
Yeah, we need to call Spanky in for that one. He can come flying in like Kramer, like, oh, guys. All right, that's it. We love you guys. Until next, we have the opportunity to speak. Remember to always stay awesome.
There are times that you feel like your head is a big old bucket filled with fuzzy dreams, 'cause you wish you were a Muppet. But you can't play the music, and you can't light the lights, and it's all you can do just to make it through any more of these lonely nights. So you grab your favorite mixtape, and you pop it in the slot, and you scream two words along with all the nerds, 'cause right now it's all you've got.